Book of 2 Kings, 2 Kings, 22nd chapter of 2 Kings. Please stand in reverence to reading God's Word. Chapter 22, 2 Kings. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jedidah, the daughter of Adiah of Boscath. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. And it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah that the king sent Shaphan the son of Azaliah the son of Meshullam the scribe to the house of the Lord, saying, Go up to Hilkiah the high priest, that he may sum the silver which is brought into the house of the Lord, which the keepers of the door have gathered of the people. And let them deliver it into the hands of the doers of the work that have the oversight of the house of the Lord, and let them give it to the doers of the work which is in the house of the Lord to repair the breaches of the house, unto carpenters and builders and masons, and to buy timbers and huge stone to repair the house. Howbeit there was no reckoning made with them of the money that was delivered into their hand, because they dealt faithfully. And Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought the king word again and said, Thy servants have gathered the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hand of them that do the work and that have the oversight of the house of the Lord. And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. Let us pray. Father, again I want to thank you for the precious Bible, the Word of God. Thank you so much, Father, that here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, your Word is loved, it's respected, it's honored. And Father, I trust that we'll always do that. We'll always be that kind of people that'll love the Bible, the Word of God. Now tonight, as this preacher preaches, I need your power. I need your wisdom. Lord, I need you. And I ask you, Lord, to empower me and give me that wisdom I need to preach. And I ask you, Lord, to give us all attentive spirits that we might just listen and hear what God has to say to us tonight. Thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and the Bible tells us that, and we'll cover some of this in a few moments, but the Bible tells us that he was, the temple was in disrepair. House of God was in disrepair. You notice that they went into the house of God and they found the what had been given. It was a normal, regular thing for money to be given unto the house of the Lord, because it takes money to do the things that need to be done. It takes money for repairs. It takes money to work to support the work of God. And that was just normal with the Jewish people. They gave no thought to that. And in fact, it should be normal for the Christian folk. Christian folk should not have any trouble with tithes and offerings. None whatsoever. Some folk may not understand the principle. Maybe they're newly saved and they don't understand the principle of tithing, which is a tenth of your income, and offerings. A lot of people maybe don't understand that. They've never been taught. But a person who has been taught, person who understands that, that's just principle. You just do that because that's the right thing to do because you're a Christian. You do what is right to do because you're God's child. Now, we're not going to preach on that tonight, all right? So it's all right, but we're not going to preach on that. But it'd be a good thing to preach on because we ought to do things right because it's right to do it. You see, don't have any trouble. I never have any trouble once I learned about tithes and offering. I have never had any trouble with it. In fact, I've rejoiced that God gave me the opportunity to do it. Thank God that he gave me the opportunity to do it. Thank God he gives me a paycheck. Amen? So I don't have any problem with that. And people who know the Lord and who is growing in the Lord don't have any problem with that. They know that's the way God works. But what I'm going to preach on tonight is why the book or why the Word of God was lost. Now, a lot of times we talk about that it was lost, but tonight I want to dwell upon the subject of why it was lost in the temple. And we find that here in the Word of God. They found the book. They found the Word of God. It was lost. And I want to talk about why it was lost. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, when I found the Bible, the Word of God, it just literally changed my life. Now, you say, Brother Ross, you mean you found a copy one day? No, I've always had copy. There's always been a Bible in our house, even as I was growing up. And I still remember back, Sunday school teacher gave me a testament. I don't know for sure if I still got that, but I think maybe I do. I may have given it to one of my children. I don't know. I can't remember. But anyway, I had the Bible, the Word of God. I had it. I had a copy of it. But I didn't have it in here. I didn't understand it. I didn't know. I didn't realize. All I looked at it as was something that was a book and had some writing in it. It was supposed to be the Bible, the Word of God. But I didn't understand all of that. But when in 1966, for the first time, I truly understood for the first time, this was a message from God. This is God's message to us. And it was what He wanted us to know. And if God, our Creator, wanted us to know this, then I better be listening. And for the first time, the Word of God become real to me concerning salvation and after that, of course, concerning Christian living. The Word of God is God's message to us. Do not ever take it lightly. And I'm afraid that many times it's taken so lightly nowadays. It's just simply just, well, there it is, another book. Yes, somebody's going to read the Bible. That's why when your preacher reads the Bible, I want you to be attentive to it. I want you to be attentive when the Word of God is preached. No matter who's preaching, I want you to be attentive. No matter who's teaching the Bible in a Sunday school class, I want you to be attentive. Why? Because it's God's Word. That's why. And you and I need to hear what the Word of God says. So when I found the Word of God, it just literally changed my life. And the evidence of that is here tonight. I got saved in 1966. I took the Word of God as truth about that I was an old rotten sinner, lost, hopelessly lost, in need of Christ. 1966, my wife and I both received Christ that year, and it literally turned our life around. Because of that, our children are saved. Because of that, our grandchildren are saved. Because of that, I pastor of church. Because of that, down through the years, hopefully I've had just a little bit of influence on people's lives to live for Christ. Hopefully I have. And because of that, why? Because I took the Word of God as literal. And I believe the Word of God. And what I'm saying to you is, we can say we believe the Word of God and lose it. And I'm going to try to explain that to you tonight. I don't think if you'd asked the Jewish people, do you believe the Word of God, I don't think they would have said, oh, no, no, no. I don't believe the Word. I don't think that any one of them would have said, we don't believe the Word of God. They just lost it. And it just got misplaced. And that can happen to we as Christians very easy. So we're going to talk about some things, but basically I'm going to center in on why the Word of God was lost tonight. Now, first of all, we know that when they found it, it was in the temple where it was found. Now, that's a good place for the Word of God to be. That's a great place. That's where the Word of God ought to be, in the house of God. Ought to be here, shouldn't it? I mean, you got a Bible? Lift it up. Lift up your Bible. Just lift them up. Amen. Word of God. You got it, don't you? Amen. Sure. Amen. That's a good thing to do here in the house of God, to have a copy of the Bible, you see. And to have the Word of God. That's a marvelous, wonderful thing. That's what everybody ought to have, you see. Well, so the Word of God was in the temple, but it was lost. It was covered up with, oh, so many things. I want to talk about a few of those things. Why the Bible, the Word of God, was lost. First of all, it gets covered up by all kinds of things. Sometimes it gets programmed out. Now let me say and let me explain that to you. We was in a church sometime back, and I remember the preacher almost getting up and apologizing because he was going to take another 5 minutes to preach his message. And they had a long song service. Long song service, not all kinds of things, which is all right. I mean, I'm not complaining about that. But the time was getting late, and he said, well, folks, now just give me 5 more minutes. He said, I'll get this message over with. And I thought to myself, what a shame to apologize for preaching the Word of God. Sometimes the Word of God is just programmed out. Other things take first place over the Word of God. Here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, there's one thing more important than anything else, and that's preaching of the Word of God. Now, I love singing. I think singing is necessary. I think it's good. I think it's right. We need it, absolutely. But it doesn't take the place of the Word of God. I like testimony meetings, and I like all of those kind of things. And I like what we do. I like praying. Amen. But it doesn't take the place of the Word of God. It's through the foolishness of preaching that men believe. And so we know that the Bible, the preaching of God's Word, is what's important to God. Now all these other things around it is good. And it'll help our service and help us have a great service. But it's the preaching of the Bible, the Word of God. So it can just get programmed out sometimes. Sometimes I've heard of people having services where there's no preaching. I don't believe that. Not for one minute. I don't believe for that. I believe preaching is absolutely necessary. Say, well, we just got caught up in singing and testimony and all this. No preaching. Well, you missed the main thing. It's the preaching of the Word of God. It gets programmed out. A lot of times it gets out because they pick up the traditions of men instead of doing what God says in His Word to do. Begin to have services according to tradition instead of what God says to do. Now, you know, God gives us leeway in services. He doesn't tell me to have a service and have two songs here and three songs there, four songs there, whatever you do. He doesn't tell us how to do that. He leaves that up to the administrative. He leaves that up to me who is over the services. And there's many things that He leaves up to us. But we never can pull out the principles that He does tell us to do and leave them out. And we get into traditions sometimes, and traditions are not always bad. If they don't go against the Bible, they're not necessarily bad traditions. But let me say to you, the moment they overstep the Bible, the Word of God, they ought to be out. You see, because it's the Bible, the Word of God. So across our country, we've seen all kinds of traditions take the place of the preaching of the Word of God. Sometimes, as I've said, it gets added to. Instead of taking the Word of God as it is, it gets added to or it gets subtracted from. We talked about this, I think it was maybe on Wednesday night, I can't remember. I preached so much, I don't remember when I said all these things, but I remember saying it. I remember talking about that, you know, you can't add to the Bible the Word of God. So the Bible gets added to and the Bible gets subtracted from. Oh, you say, we'd never do that. You just be careful. We have a tendency to want to do that. We want to pick and choose what we want out of this book. And so what happens is we begin to subtract from the Word of God, but not honoring all the Bible, the Word of God. We add to it sometimes because we think we know more what God was saying than He did. And so we say, well, this is what really God meant. Well, God is able, very able, in His Word to keep exactly and tell us exactly what He meant. Amen. Just exactly. So what happens is it just gets, the Word of God pretty soon gets pushed aside. It gets other things substitute for it. Now we never can do that. Blessed Hope Baptist Church must always be a church that is founded on the Bible, the Word of God. It's got to be a place. I try so hard. I really do. I try so hard to make sure people who come in this pulpit preach to us the Word of God. Once in a while, I get slipped up. Sometimes people bring humanistic type messages once in a while. Sometimes they'll bring things talking more about men than they do Jesus Christ. I'm not interested in men being lifted up in this congregation. I'm interested in Jesus Christ being lifted up and Jesus Christ being honored. That's who I want honored in this place. And you'll notice through my preaching, you hear here, you always hear me honor Jesus Christ. And I'm not interested in some man being lifted up and honored. We mention men sometimes. Thank God for good men. We thank God for that, and I'm glad for good men. But I don't want them honored over Jesus Christ. Amen? So again, I simply say that happens. And when that happens, pretty soon the Word of God is set aside. It becomes hid amongst all of those things that we've allowed to come first instead of the Word of God. You say, well, I would never let anything come between me and the Word of God. You've got to be careful making that statement because many times that happens in every personal Christian's life. Because we don't work, we don't do what the Word of God says. We come up with some kind of an idea what we think would be all right. The Word of God absolutely opposes it. We say this is what the Word of God says, and we've come up with some kind of idea why it's all right for us to do something else. I'm just simply saying to you, the Word of God can get hid right in the house of God, right in the temple. And we caught here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, we have absolutely got to see to it that that never happens here. Amen. Over in Matthew, I want to show you over in Matthew something. Matthew, the 13th chapter. Matthew, the 13th chapter, and I want to start reading at verse number 18. It says, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in the heart. This is he which receiveth seed by the wayside. But he that receiveth the seed with stony places, the same as he that heareth the word and annoying with joy received it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation and persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. Now, some of these things are the same things that hide the word of God. It gets buried under. But listen to verse number 22. He also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. If you'll notice here, God says one of the greatest dangers about the word of God being choked out of your life. He's not just talking here, folks, to the lost crowd. Look what he's saying. What happens here is that the cares of this world, these are same principles right here that can be for you and I. We can let the cares of this world choke out the Bible, the word of God. The deceitfulness of riches. We're living in a nation where most folk today, are absolutely more concerned with their livelihood and making a living than they are serving God Almighty. That becomes principle in their life. And God says what happens is the deceitfulness of riches choke out the Word of God. And He tells us the cares of this world choke out the Word of God. So can you, if you think you know the Word of God, you think you believe the Word of God, can you be deceived and the Word of God be choked out of your life? Absolutely. Absolutely. The cares of this world will choke it out. Listen to me for a moment. What do you talk about in your 24 hours that God gives you at every day? I mean, I'm not talking about the Word of God all the time, but don't you think God has a place somewhere in our conversations? Don't you think He has a place somewhere in our daily life? The Word of God has a place? Or is this chasing after the buck going to take all of our time? And the cares of this world and dealing with the cares of this world, is that what is going to take up our time? If so, it's choking out the Bible, the Word of God. So what happens is that's why it gets lost. The Bible tells us, not going to go there, take time to do that over in Ezekiel, the 33rd chapter of Ezekiel, and also Jeremiah, the 6th chapter. We find the same principle taught there, but it was people who come, listened to the Bible, listened to the Word of God. They knew what the Word of God said and absolutely said, we're not going to do it. You say, Brother Ross, do we have that in Christianity today? Absolutely. Oh, we absolutely do. They know what the Bible says. They know what the Word of God says about certain principles. And they absolutely refuse to do the Word of God. They just are not going to do it. You know why homes are breaking up all over the place, plus even Christian homes? You want to know why? This preacher can tell you why. It's because they will not follow God's principle for marriage. No, sir, there's not a marriage in a Christian, there's not a one marriage in people who are truly born again that cannot be fixed if they will do what God says. Absolutely none. God can fix any of them if they'll do what the Word of God says. But the problem is this, they don't want to do the Word of God. So it becomes lost to them who are got a home and a marriage, and all at once it's breaking up. Why is this happening? Because the Word of God is not followed. I'm saying to you, I see this all the time, and that's why I get so upset about it. I see families breaking up. I went to a home here the other day doing my best to try to get them in church, and all at once the lady broke down, began to tell me their home is getting ready to break up, getting ready to head for the divorce courts. And I see this kind of thing constantly, and it grieves this preacher. It doesn't have to be. It's because the Word of God is hid in their lives. They do not listen to the Bible, the Word of God, so they do not follow the Bible, the Word of God. And so what happens? Well, things begin to go haywire. And I say to you again, folks, that's what's happening in America today. We don't follow the Bible. It's hid from us many times. You remember over in the book of Amos, he talked about there would be a famine of the hearing of the Word of God. Now, I believe if you read that in principle, I think he's talking about basically even it wouldn't even be preached. Let me say to you that that is true. There's all across America, there's places this morning that did not hear the Word of God. No, they did not hear the word of God. They may have heard some funny stories. They may have heard some other outline of something, but they did not hear the word of God. It's a tragedy. There is a famine of the word of God across this land. How do you know that, Brother Ross? Because of what's happening in the lives of America. That's why I know it. And I say to you, it would happen here too if we do not preach the Bible, the word of God, you see. But also there's that famine of the hearing of the word of God, not just because it's not preached, but because of the refusal to hear it. Absolutely refusal to hear it. Some of you right now is probably thinking about other things than what I'm saying. Some of you right now may have your mind somewhere way off what you're going to do tomorrow. Boy, you got a busy day tomorrow. Amen. I mean, boy, you got plane planned this week. Oh, amen. Amen. And you're not paying any attention to the Bible, the Word of God. This preacher is warning you. He's saying to you, you need God's Word. You need to hear God's Word. You need to apply God's Word. And let me say to you, it's lost. The Word of God is lost. And one of the main reasons it's lost is you don't read it. When you don't read the Word of God, it's lost in your life. How can you say I know the Word of God or I even know about it when you don't read it? It's lost. It's lost to you. Not only that, it's lost when we don't study it. Not only read it, but study it. You know, you can do some things. You say, Brother, you got to be a scholar to study the Bible. No, you don't. You know what? One of the things, and we talk about the Scofield Bible, one of the things that's been good for the Christian out of the Scofield Bible, but there's others that do the very same thing, has that center references. I remember when I first got saved. I remember when I wanted to learn the Bible. You know what I'd done? I'd come to one of those little A's or B's or something beside a portion. I'd stop every time and I'd go over and look up what it said and go back to the Bible and read it, what it said over there and the comparison of the Scriptures. And that was basically my Bible study. I didn't know how to study. I just done the best I could. And so I'm just simply saying to you that studying the Word of God, you get your concordance down. You say, what's that word mean? Amen. Get the concordance down. Look it up. Read it. And say, look at there. I learned something today about the Bible. I mean, that's just simple things. I mean, that's not something that is going to be deep, probably studied. But, I mean, that's just simple study of the Word of God. We don't just need to read it, but we need to study it. But it's lost to us. When we don't study the Bible, it's absolutely lost to us, you see. Not only that, it's lost to us when we don't apply it. Folks, you can take it, you can read it, you can study it, and you don't apply it, it's lost to you. It don't mean anything. It's just something you have up here, but it's never got down into here. I mean, it's got to change lives. You know, Brother Tom told me just a little while. He said, one of the ladies that come this morning said for the first time she's found a church that absolutely preaches the Word of God and wants to live the Word of God. She's excited about it. She's excited about seeing the Word of God live, not just preached. And that's what it's all about. We've got to apply it. Amen. We've got to apply the Word of God to our life, or it's lost to us. And another thing is, if we don't apply it, we basically don't believe it. Now, you say, oh, Brother Ross, I'm a Bible believer. No, wait a minute. The Word of God tells you to do something and you don't do it, you tell me you believe that. You tell me you believe that. Do you really believe it? You say, oh, yeah, I don't. I mean, do you really believe it if you won't do what it says? You understand what I'm talking about? And the Word of God gets lost in our lives. Many people know what the Bible says, but they don't follow it. And then we find also that it's not accepted many times as absolute. Folks, it's lost to you today if you don't accept this Bible as absolute truth. I mean, it's absolute truth. Folks, there's nothing else that's absolute truth but the Word of God. You see, and if we don't accept it as that, you know, and many times we don't. People don't accept the Bible as absolute. In other words, they say, well, that's what God says, but you know, everybody has his own opinion. No, it's the Word of God. It's absolute. And you're going to lose the Word of God in your life if you don't accept the Bible as the absolute truth. What God says, you see. And not only that, of course, it's lost when you don't hear it preached. Now, preacher just talks about this all the time, but I want to tell you something. I don't think anybody understands the importance of preaching. I really don't think they do. And old Satan has sold them a bill of goods. It's just not important that I be at church. It's just not important. If I miss church, big deal. When you miss church, I want to tell you something. When you miss church, you miss a message from God Almighty that He wanted you to hear. Every time you're not in the house of God, when preaching is going on, you are missing something that God wants you to hear. Amen? So it's lost to you. There's messages that I preached and I put my heart in them. And I've even asked people, go get a tape of that and listen to it because it'll help our church. And I go back and look at the sign-up list. I see the sign-up list. And here your preacher's poured his heart out. Said, something I want the church to hear. I want to learn. It's something very important. It'll help our church. And they wasn't here, and they don't even have enough about them to go back here and get a tape and listen to it. And then I say, I wonder how many signed up did really listen to it. I mean, I don't know that. I just take for granted if you signed up, you listen to it. But I'm just simply saying, folks, it's a tragedy today. We don't really believe that preaching helps us. It isn't really that necessary in our life. But let me say to you, it is. That's God's plan. He doesn't have another plan. He doesn't have any other. He doesn't have a home Bible study plan. You may have a home Bible study with your family. That's fine. But He has a plan of preaching from a preacher. That's His plan. And there isn't any other plan. And so I say to you, when you don't follow through on that, you absolutely just miss and you lose the Word of God out of your life. Things that God wants you to know. I want you to look at 2 Kings, the 21st chapter of 2 Kings, and read verse number 1. And Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Hephzibah, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord after the abomination of the heathen whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. For he built up again the high places which Hezekiah his father had destroyed. And he reared up the altars for Baal. Now remember, this is Manasseh, and what he's doing is putting false worship back in to Israel. And we're going to find even into the temple of the Lord. And he said, Hezekiah's father had destroyed, and he reared up altars for Baal and made a grove and did Ahab king of Israel and worshipped all the host of heaven and served them. And he built altars. Listen to this. He built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord said, in Jerusalem will I put my name. What kind of altars did he build? Next verse tells us. And he built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. He built altars right in the house of God for false worship. What a shame. What a tragedy. Now look what it says. And he made his sons pass through the fire and observe times and use enchantments and dealt with familiar spirits and wizards. He wrought much wickedness in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. And he set a graven image of the grove that he had made in the house of which the Lord said to David and to Solomon his son, and in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all tribes of Israel, will I put my name forever. Now, I'm just saying to you, you know what they done? He set up altars right into the temple of the Lord. And those that would worship other gods and set them right up. I'm saying to you today, it's going on in America today. Things going on in our churches today. There's altars being set up in our churches that's contrary to the Bible, the Word of God. Folks, I don't know whether you understand or not. This is a very special place. It's a place that God gave us as a place to gather as a church. It's not a place for us to play games at all the time and have fun at all times. It's a place for preaching. Place to preach the Word of God. It's a place where we honor God in our singing, honor God in our praying, honor God in all of our music, honor God in everything we do. Why? It's a place God gave us. Amen? So I'm simply saying to you, we've got to be careful, you see, what we bring into the house of the Lord. Because we'll just be like Manasseh here. Principles can be used that's contrary to the Bible, the Word of God, and that does not please God and does not honor our wonderful God. So what happened here in Manasseh's day? Let me just put it this way. God just simply had been forgotten and just moved out. Was the temple of the Lord still there? Oh, absolutely. Was the people still coming? Well, sure. They were still coming. What was happening? Well, they wasn't worshiping the true God anymore. And do you think that happened overnight? Of course it didn't. It just kind of slid in and began to build. That's the way Satan works. Folks, if you tonight, right now, if so, someone would come in here and suggest we set up an altar to worship some other gods, you'd have a fit. You'd all join me. We'd kick them out, wouldn't we? Sure we would. But I want to tell you what happens is he slides it in easy and brings those in that would like to see things like that. Brings those in who would like to see us go in a more liberal direction and instead of the way that the Word of God says. That's what he does. That's the way Satan does. That's why your preacher just comes, gets up here and hammers and hollers and screams and says, we can't do this and you got to help me do it. And you do. You got to help me. You got to watch for these things. You need spiritual discernment. I was going to tell our deacons, and I'll tell all of you. Listen, folks, keep your ears open when you're around the church. If you hear any foolishness going on, stop it. This is not a place for foolishness. Stop it. Put a stop to it. Someone come up and want to start giving you a bunch of stuff about the other people, just stop them. Don't listen to them. Stop it now. You don't have to put up with that stuff. You see, this is a house of God. This isn't a place where we want to play games and talk about other people and run other people down and all these. No, 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 no. This is the house of God. And you can help me stop it if you want to. So get your spiritual ears on and listen a little bit when you're around other people. Just listen. You're not have to look for trouble, but just listen. Have some discernment about you. Spiritual discernment. So you can help the house of God stay what it is here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Amen? You say, well, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. Oh, come off of it. You're about as spiritual as a rattlesnake and about as dangerous. What do you mean you don't want to hurt somebody's feelings? You want to hurt God's feelings? You want to let the word of house of God be destroyed? Is people's love for you more important than God's love for you? The work of God more important to you, is it? Don't be worried about it. I'm just simply saying, I'm not talking about being mean. I'm just simply saying, don't let the foolishness go on in your presence. Just don't do it. Don't be a party of it. And just stop it. Amen? Why? Because this is a Bible-believing place. We preach the Word of God. We want to keep it that way. And you're going to have to help me keep it that way. Because what's going to happen is, it's going to slide in. You hear me? See, it don't just jump in all at once. It just slips in easy. I say to my deacons, I want my deacons to be listening. First time someone says something contrary, let me put it this way, about the preacher that they oughtn't say, they ought to be immediately stopped. No, the deacon ought to stop them. Now, if I'm doing something unscriptural, then you let them come to me. But you ought to stop the foolishness. Amen. Just stop it. Amen. See, that's a good deacon. Good deacon will do that. Good deacon won't put up with that. Good deacon will stop it. Amen. No matter who it is, he'll just stop it. Amen. So I'm simply saying to you, you see, you've got to realize that this thing don't happen overnight. Why the Bible says over in Romans, the first chapter, he did not like to retain God in their knowledge, and God gave them over to reprobate minds. What happened to them? Why did they get to the place where they had reprobate minds? Because way back here, they didn't want to retain God in their knowledge. See, it all starts just little. Every church that has went downhill and is not what it ought to be today did not start all at once one day. It quit. No, no, no. It started way back there. And let me say something to you. Once you get it in, it's hard to get out. So we're going to do everything we can. Just keep it out. Amen? Just keep it out. Now, why was it lost? I want to show you one more thing over here in Luke, 12th chapter of the book of Luke. There's so many principles in this portion of Scripture here that can be taught. But listen in the 12th chapter of the book of Luke, 15th verse. And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. I think we read that not very long ago, but let me tell you one of the main reasons when the Word of God is lost in churches. Are you ready for this? When prosperity comes to its members. This man, prosperity come to him, and he forgot God. If you will take, I don't have time to do it now. You go over into the book of Deuteronomy, you read the eighth chapter of Deuteronomy, and you'll find what he said. He said, when you get into the land, you're going to forget God. You know why? Because of all of the good things you're going to find there. You're going to have this, you're going to have that, you're going to have everything you want, and you're going to forget God. Let me say to you tonight, prosperity has been one of those enemies of the church for years and years, because once we get prosperous, we don't think we need God. I went to Midland, Michigan, and Ralph Forbes was a man that was in that church, an older man. I may have told you this before, but one of the first things we got there, and we talked to him, got to know him a little bit, and I said, Mr. Forbes, help me a little bit. I said, I'm a new pastor, new in town, never been here before. I said, what about Midland, Michigan? Can you sum it up to help me in what I'm facing here in Midland, Michigan? Now, all of you probably have heard of Dow Chemical. That is the main headquarters for Dow Chemical in Midland, Michigan. Just a large organization. Here's exactly what he said. Pastor, they have Dow. They don't need God. And I'm saying to you, if you don't be careful, you and I don't be careful, prosperity will turn our hearts away from God. You know what? We just don't need Him. I want to tell you something. What happens when you have a deep need and you can't pay a bill and this comes upon you and you don't know how you're going to survive and all that? What do? Oh, God, help me. Amen? I mean, we turn to God. We start crying. What happens when you got a bank account, plenty and everything you want? Most of the time. It didn't say all the time. Doesn't have to be that way if you got a good bank account. Doesn't have to be that. But it's dangerous. You've got to be sure that you always remember it was God who gave it to you. Who's God who provided it for you. You see, but many times that isn't what happens. It's like this man right here. He had all those things. He was going to do better. He was going to tear down his old barns. He's going to build greater barns. Why? And he left God out of his life. So be careful about prosperity. I think it's one of the things that has helped America turn to where she's at today is prosperity. See, all we're thinking about is the stock market. Boy, how's it doing? Is it doing well? Oh, how's the economy doing? Oh, isn't it doing good? Isn't that wonderful? We don't say how is our condition as far as God is concerned. And that's what we ought to be concerned about, you see. But instead, we're not. And so what happens is we just lose the Word of God. It becomes unimportant to us. We don't follow the Word of God. We follow the stock market. It becomes the important thing in our life. If everything's going good, economy's okay, amen. But no. That's dangerous because you lose the Word of God, you see. All right, to move on. That's one of the times when the Word of God is lost in a time of plenty. A time of plenty. You've got to be very careful about that. Also in Psalms, and I'll turn to one more here, Psalms, the 78th chapter of Psalms. 78th chapter of Psalms, verse number 7. Well, I'm going to start reading verse number 5. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. Now you go back again to Deuteronomy, go back to the 4th chapter, and I think again it's the 6th chapter, and I think it's the 11th chapter of Deuteronomy, and you will find that God gives specific instructions to do this. You take the Word of God, moms and dads, and you teach it to your children. You make sure your children know the Word of God. Now, are we doing that today in the Christian world? Are we being sure that our children know the Word of God? Do we teach it to them diligently? Now, that's what he said he told them. Now, here's what happened. Verse number 6, and the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. What's the principle? The principle is we teach them to our children so that when they have children, they teach it to them, their children, and it just gets passing on down, just keeps passing on down. That's the principle that God uses. But many times, somewhere along the line, it gets stopped. And some generations are not taught the Bible, the Word of God. It's not taught to their children, so when their children get older, they don't teach it. That's what's happened in America. We're not passing down the Bible, the Word of God. It's become hid amongst all the things of this world and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. Now listen to what he says in verse number 7, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. See, the purpose for this is, where's your hope at? Keep your hope in God, not in Dow Chemical. Keep your hope in God. And he says the reason, he says there, that and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. You don't want to forget what God's done. You want to keep the commandments of God. And then in verse 7, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. Verse 8, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. Folks, listen, there is so much here, I don't have time to give it all to you. But I want to tell you right now, there is much people today who's turned back in the day of battle. The day when they ought to be out there on the front line of the Christian battle, and right there battling, they've turned back, and because of that, their children don't get to hear the Word of God. And so their children won't hear. And then he says, in verse number 11, and forget His works and His wonders that He had showed them. I see that even here, and there's no way completely that we can do that. But you know, many of you, even though, although I think you're fine folk, I appreciate you so much, but you don't really realize the battle that it took to build Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You don't have an understanding of it. Now, I'm not saying you don't have some, but you wasn't there, and so you can't have a complete understanding of it. But what I'm simply saying, folks, this place didn't just all at once appear. It has taken battle after battle after battle after battle, fighting to get this place to even where it's at today and to keep it there. And if we let up, it'll go down. Sure it will. Amen. So I'm simply saying to you, what do we do, you see? Well, we've got to be sure that we don't. And that's what they did. In a time of disobedience, they lost the Bible in the temple. Time of plenty, time of disobedience. There's so many other things we could talk about. Another thing is that some things are substituted for the Word of God. We talked a little bit about that. But you can look at the New Testament and see the traditions of men were substituted for the Word of God. Folks, we got to know what the Bible says and do everything we can to follow the Bible. Do things right, you see, according to the Bible. And then, of course, let me show you real quickly what happens that we may find the Bible, the Word of God. Going back with us to 22nd chapter, verse number 2, he said, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. You know what happened? Josiah had a tender heart. You say, Brother Ross, do you know that? Yes, the Bible tells us that over in verse 19. He says, because thy heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest that I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and has rent thy clothes and wept before me, I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. You know what Josiah had? Josiah had a tender heart. You know, Josiah looked around and saw that things was not right. Manasseh had left things in a mess. And here is Josiah coming on the scene, and he said, you know, this is not right. The Bible's been lost. We got to get the Bible back in here. We got to get the Word of God. And God said, you had a tender heart toward me, and so you did right. And folks, that's what God's looking for today, is people with tender hearts who just want to do right. Amen. So what happens then when the word is found again? Let me show you in chapter 23, verse number 1 of 2 Kings. He says, "And the king sent, and they gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests and the prophets and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandment and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart and all their soul, to perform the words of this covenant and were written in this book. And all the people stood to the covenant." Yes, the king, Josiah, said, "Well, we're going to make a covenant with God. We're just going to do right." You see, when you get the Bible back, revival happens. Revival happens when there's a tender heart, tender to the Bible, the Word of God. And then God can do some marvelous things. The king stood up and said, "We're going to make a covenant." And the people said, we're going to do that covenant. Now, I'm saying to you tonight, see, what needs to be is just we as a people continue with a good covenant that we're just going to follow God's Word. We're just going to do it. Amen? And we're just going to follow the Bible, the Word of God. We're going to do right. We're not going to let anything slip in. We're not going to let these little things against the Bible come in into our life and into the life of this church and into the workings of this church and destroy it. We're not going to look. Is everybody agree with that? I mean, raise your hand if you agree with it. Raise your hand. Amen? You for that? Amen. Me too. Amen? And I make a covenant of that. I won't keep the Bible right here where it ought to be. Not lose it. Because it can get lost right in the temple. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, again, I thank you for your wonderful love for us and your kindness and your goodness to us. And once again, Lord, we need your help. We need your power. We need your wisdom. Lord, help us not lose your word here in the temple. God, help us always to magnify it and preach it and thank you for it. And Lord, let it be supreme and absolute truth in our lives. Now we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.